walk and chew gum, but she can play the accordion, the piano, and sing at the same time. That's a little beyond my musical talents and endeavors. I can promise you that. Amen. Thank you, sister. Appreciate that so very much. I'm in awe that you can do all three of those things all at once and do them so very well as well. Take your Bibles this evening. Turn to the book of Psalms, the book of Psalm 23. Before I went on sabbatical, we were looking at Psalm 23 in the days ahead, and I had hoped to be able to finish that series, but I wasn't able to do so, ran out of time. But during my sabbatical, God allowed me to work on the last of the two verses, and I think the last two part are better than the first two part. Not that the Word of God is better than any other part, but we have some great encouragement that come from these last two messages. So I do trust and pray, and it's been my prayer and aim and thought that these would be a real blessing to you. So as we continue to look at Psalm 23, we're finding help to face the days ahead. To get the right perspective on the days ahead, sometimes we have to just look back at our past. When we look back at our past, we can look back at our past in two different ways. We can look back at sometimes in a positive manner. We can say the good old days, amen. How many have heard their parents or grandparents say, "I remember the good old days," amen. And they were good old days, but they forgot about the good old days where medicine didn't fix anybody and they died of heart attacks and died of cancer and they had all kinds of things like that. The good old days where it was depression and they had to work and scrape for everything that they had, but they were good old days. So we look back at the good old days, but some look back in a positive manner, but then some look back at the good old days in a negative manner. And we can look back with regret, or we can look back with rejoicing. It's the old adage that there are those who look at the glass that's half full, or those that look at the glass half empty. And so it's a matter of perspective. Do you see it as something positive, or do you see it as something negative? I read a story about a man who went to the church, and he heard the organist. She played, and she missed the note, and he winced. And he saw a teenager talking when everyone was supposed to have their head bowed for prayer. He felt the usher was watching him as he put his dollar into the offering plate. He caught the preacher making a misstep and a slip, reading the Word of God five times during that 45-minute service. As he walked out, he thought to himself, "What does it do any good for me to come to this church? Why do I even bother coming to this church?" Another man heard the organist play in the same arrangement and was thrilled by the majesty of the music. He was moved by a young girl who gave her testimony and told of her faith, how it made a difference in her life and the life of her family. He was glad when they received an offering for missions. He especially appreciated the sermon for an answer to the question that had bothered him for a very, very long time. And when he left the service that morning, he said to himself, "How could anyone come here and not feel the presence of the Lord?" Both men went to the same church, attended the same service, and can I say this, each found what they were looking for. And there are those that look at life and only see the negative, while there are those who look at life, whether it's past, present, or future, and they see only the positive. Some can look back and all they see is their trials and some bitterness that has come into their life because it was so difficult. Others can look back at those trials and be blessed because how the trials strengthened them and matured them, and they were used by God to bring themselves closer to the Almighty. As we're near the end here of Psalm 23, I see a picture of David beginning to look back. He looked back and he says, "God has been so good to me." And David declares in our text today, "My cup runneth over." David's life had not been without disappointments and difficulties. His life had not been immune from sorrows and suffering. His life hadn't escaped fear and failure. He hadn't been without pain and peril. All those things were involved in David's life. But when David looks back, he looks back at his life as being full and not empty. I can almost sense the emotion in David's voice. Perhaps it wobbled a little bit as he began to have maybe tears of joy well up inside of his eyes. And he says, "My cup runneth over." David is declaring how good God had been to him and all the blessings that he enjoyed and all the blessings that he experienced in all his lifetime. You see, this cup is symbolic of the blessings of the Lord. And David's words are a description of God's blessings upon him. But just like David, guess what? God has been good to each and every one of us. And we all drink from his cup of blessing. There's not one of us here, regardless of where you find yourself in this race of life, that God has not been good to you. He's been good to you. It's a matter of your perspective and how you've seen it. All of us have been blessed by God. So let's stand, as our practice has been and will continue to be. We're going to read Psalm 23, all six verses, and we're going to read it out loud together, you and I together, and then we'll have a word of prayer as we think on this thought, "My cup runneth over." Let's begin reading in Psalm 23. Begin reading in verse number 1. And again, I'm going to ask you again, when you read the scripture, God's word, just don't read it to read it. Read it with emotion. Read it with sincerity. Read it like it really means something to your heart. Let's go in verse number 1. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil," and here we go, notice this, "my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen and amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heart and our knee before you this evening, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful psalm. And Father, the lessons we've gleaned from your word over the past few weeks as we have studied this have been wonderful. But Father, now we get to the bread and butter. Father, now it comes to the point, Father, all that we have learned, we begin to look back, Father, at all the blessings you have given us in the first couple of verses. So Father, now I pray for your people. Oh Father, no doubt during this time of sabbatical, Father, and things going on, Father, no doubt the devil wanted to make inroads here at Sharon Baptist Church. But Father, your people have fought them off. And God, they stood firm, Father, and they were faithful and true during this time. And God, I'm so thankful for that. And Father, we can surely say this evening that my cup runneth over. So Father, now bless your people, Father, as we look at this thought. May they come away being encouraged from the word of God this very evening. So we pray and ask these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this evening. As we consider these words of the psalmist David, the great shepherd David, "and my cup runneth over," as we think about his words this evening, I want us to notice, first of all, the abundance of blessings. The abundance of blessings. David spoke of his cup, notice the wording, "running over." He's not describing a drop. He's not describing a little sip of water. His cup was full. It was filled to the brim. David was saying simply this: God has blessed me to the point it's overflowing inside my life. As I think about this cup, I'm reminded of two things. First of all, reminded of the generous blessings, the generous blessings. You see, when the sheep entered the sheepfold at night, the shepherd not only counted them and cared for them, as we saw before, putting salve and oil upon them, he also allowed them to drink, get this now, out of his own personal cup. The shepherd didn't give them a quarter cup. He didn't give them a half cup of water. Didn't even give them a three-quarters cup of water. The shepherd dipped his own personal cup into a bucket of water and gave him a full cup that was overflowing. If you think about it, and you already know this, that the conditions in the Middle East were very dry and there wasn't a lot of water. But here we have the shepherd dipping into a bucket and filling his cup to the very brim. That's how David saw how good God had been to him. His cup was running over. kind of like in the morning when you get up and you're still a little bit tired and you hit the button on the Keurig and you have an 8-ounce cup, but you hit the 10-ounce button. And so it's overflowing to the brim. You're trying to make it to your study or to the couch and it's dripping and your wife's saying, "It's overflowing, it's overflowing." That's what David is talking about. It's just not to the top. It's bubbled over to the top. And if you were to be like you or I, you would have a coffee cup and you have a plate underneath it. And then before you drink the cup, you'd slurp the sop out of the bottom of the plate. That's how much it was. That's what David was trying to say. And you and I can have that same portion as well. The psalmist David said in Psalm 16 and verse number 5, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance." Now get this. He said, "And of my," can you guess what the word is? "Cup." That word portion speaks of something that is very large. He wasn't saying that I have a small portion or a little bit of portion. He's saying the portion of God's blessing upon my life is so large that it's overflowing in my life. In Psalm 73, in verse number 10, it gives us this idea of a generous portion. The Bible says, "Therefore, as people return hither, and waters of full cup are wrung out to them." You see, God's cup is always full of blessings, whether we see it, whether we take advantage of it or not. God's cup of blessings are there waiting to be wrung out for you and I. As we think about these blessings, notice this, the simple blessings that come into our life. And Matthew 5 and verse number 45 tells us this, speaking about God, "For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." Understand this evening that all men everywhere enjoy these simple blessings of God. If it rains on me, it rains on the wicked. If it sunshines on my house, it sunshines on the wicked's house as well. They're blessings that flow from God's cup to God's creation, whether you're saved or whether you're lost. But not only is there simple blessings, notice this, notice the special blessings. The special blessings. And these are the extraordinary gifts that come because you and I have trusted in Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. The psalmist David in Psalm 116 and verse 13 penned these words down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. "I will take the cup of my salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." So in other words, David was saying this, he'll gladly and he'll thankfully receive God's mercy to himself, and he'll show his gratitude for God's mercy that's overflowing upon him. I want to ask you this evening, are you able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Have you received that cup of blessing of salvation? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? You see, there are some blessings that only come to those who drink of this cup of salvation. A.T. Pearson once tried to preach a message on God's blessings described in Ephesians 1 through 3. I'm not sure what book God's going to have us to go through. I've been praying about a couple of different books, and Ephesians is one of those. But Ephesians 1 through 3, as we take that through verse by verse and line by line, A.T. Pearson tried to preach a message describing God's blessings are found in Ephesians 1 through 3. And that portion of Scripture speaks about the unsearchable riches that you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pearson wrote these words. In the words of the text, "The unsearchable riches of Christ," unsearchable literally means this, riches that cannot be explored. He went on to write, you not only cannot count or measure them, but you can form no estimate of them. And you not only can form no estimate of them, but you never can get to the end of that investigation. What is he trying to say? I think if we stop and we think about how good God has been to us, we cannot measure his blessings. They're innumerable. They're without measure. And the psalmist David said, the blessings of God outside of even the cup of salvation are flowing abundantly and freely down to me. Someone else wrote this about blessings. They said, "Blessings, they are an acceptance that can never be questioned. They're an inheritance that can never be lost. It's a deliverance that can never be expelled. It's a grace that can never be limited. It's a hope that can never be disappointed. It's a bounty that can never be withdrawn. It's a joy that can never be diminished. It's a nearness to God that can never be reversed. It's a peace that can never be disturbed. It's a righteousness that can never be tarnished. And lastly, thank God, it's a salvation that can never be canceled. This list only begins to scratch the surface of those who experience this cup of salvation. Let me put it just another way to you. All those wonderful things are really just a drop in a bucket in an overflowing cup. This cup of salvation is full and it's running over. The truth about God's blessing is whether it's simple and applies to everybody, or whether it's special and applies to God's children, they come to us in a full cup. When I think about this cup, I not only think about the generosity in this cup, but notice something else. Notice the gracious blessings. And by the way, these blessings, they're unmerited. We don't deserve them. All that the shepherd has already done for his sheep, every path that he has taken them on, every need that he has met for his sheep, every act of devotion has come because of the shepherd's love for the sheep. Well, why does the shepherd give his sheep a full cup? Why does he not just give them a quarter cup, a half cup, or a third cup, or a three-quarters cup? I believe he gives them a full cup, not because the sheep deserve it, and not because you and I deserve it, as God being the great and the good shepherd. We don't deserve it, nor have we earned it. The blessings that you and I enjoy are ours for no other reason except for the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father love us supremely. All the blessings that we have come from the grace of God. You may think that you deserve it and you earned it, but that's not the case. His blessings come, his overflowing blessings come because he loves us. When I stop to think about the blessings that I personally enjoy, and I think about how my cup overrunneth, and I think about the fact that I don't deserve anything that God has done for me and is doing for me and will do for me in the future, I realize just how good God has been to me. It's a generous portion. And if you think about it, it's really just an expression of God's graciousness to his children. Think about it. We're so unworthy of the Father's affection. We're unworthy of the Father's attention. But yet his open hand is an extension and it's an expression of his heart. And in spite of who we are, in spite of we're sinners saved by grace, he still sets before you and I an overflowing cup. He doesn't bring us a cup with a little bit of backwash in it. He doesn't bring us a cup with just a little sip left in it. But that cup is full in spite of who or what we are. His graciousness and God's good blessings are overflowing to his children. Here's our problem, is that we're guilty of sulking at what we think God hasn't done for us. We look at other people. We look at neighbors and friends and relatives. We look at the boss and we look at the coworker and we sulk at God. We get mad at God because God, what he hasn't done for us. Instead of sulking at what we think God should have done for us, how about we get stunned at all that he has done for us? That would change your attitude a little bit. We have to say with the psalmist in Psalm 68, verse number 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us, in other words, overflowing, loaded us with the benefits, even the God of our salvation. Somebody say, glory to God, amen. My cup overfloweth. Psalm 126, and verse number 3, the psalmist says, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. So between Adrian, John, and Ed, there's a little chorus that goes with that. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Don't listen to the tune. If you have that in writing down, if you have that somewhere, let's get it printed up. I want to learn to sing that, amen. We need to learn to sing that chorus. God has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. As we consider David's words, my cup runneth over. Not only do we see the abundant blessings, but then notice, secondly, the appropriated blessings. The appropriated blessings. When I use that term appropriated, I'm talking about something that belongs or is associated with someone else. So in our case, in the text that we're looking here in Psalm 23, I'm talking about things that belong to God. God has blessings that belong to him that are available to his sheep if we just appropriate those blessings. Think about this. As the sheep would return back to the sheepfold night in and night out, the shepherd provided for every one of his sheep a full cup of water. He provided medicine and ointment, whatever the case was needed for his sheep. And as they returned, he gave them a full cup of water. It was a cool water to refresh them from the long, hard, and arduous stay that the sheep had. It was theirs to take. It was theirs to drink, to quench their thirst. All they had to do was just drink of that full cup of water. It was there for the taking if they desired to be refreshed. And when David speaks about a cup that's running over, he's describing how he is drinking from God's cup, his cup of blessings. You see, the Lord's blessings in our life are like a cup that we are supposed to drink from. They're out there waiting for his children. There's those special blessings waiting for you and I. You may be thinking, Pastor, why should we drink from this cup of the Lord? I think there's a couple of reasons why we need to do that. And first of all, we ought to drink from the cup of the Lord because this water in this cup is for our strength and refreshment. This cup is for our strength and our refreshment. Think of this scene once again. The sheep had been out all day through the hot sun, the blowing wind, the arid desert area where the sheep were. The shepherd had no doubt led them to green pastures and beside the still waters, but now they had to make their way back once again to the sheepfold where the protection was for their night. And in the evening, they began that journey back home. And by the time they reached the sheepfold, they'd be tired, they'd be hot, and no doubt they would be thirsty. But waiting on them, guess what was there waiting for them? A cool drink of water. And this water came from the shepherd's cup to provide strength and refreshment for them. Think about this. God's numerous blessings in our life are a constant source of strength and refreshment. Boy, when God does something in my life, even if it's undeserved, and he does something for me, boy, it's a source of strength. It's a source of refreshment. And I say, thank God that I am one of his child. The days of our life in this world are hard, they're tiring, they're arduous, and the events of our days have a way of just depleting our strength. You say, how do you know that? Because when I get home from a day's work as well, a day's work of ministry, I'm oftentimes depleted of my strength. When Dinah comes home after working in her dental office, guess what? Her strength is depleted emotionally and spiritually and physically, and she's tired. Think about this. You ever come home from a hard day's work and you're emotionally and physically drained? Have you ever been a caregiver for a loved one after you cared for them as a primary caregiver, or you have several children that you've been watching? At the end of the day, when your spouse comes home, don't you look at your spouse and you say, Calgon, take me away? Maybe your younger people don't know what that means. You can ask some of the older people. They'll be able to clue you in what that is. It reminds me, the other day I was trolling Facebook. I don't post too much on Facebook. I just like to see what other stupid people put on Facebook, amen. And then my family's on Facebook, so they're not stupid, but you know what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of dumb stuff that people do on there, and I was trolling through that as well. And it came to one of those little quizzes, and I don't normally take those because if you take them and then send them, they get your name, and I'm just big brother and all that stuff, whatever. And so I saw one, and it said, see if you remember if any of these things mean anything to you. And it'd be like a cassette tape. And it'll be an 8-track tape player. Do you remember any of these things? And I'm thinking, Oh, man, I remember everything. Little Coke bottles that have wax, they were made of wax that had some kind of nasty juice in them. Just stuff like that. And I began to think, oh, man, I've been around for a while. A telephone on the wall that you had to put your finger in and turn like this to call someone. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm one of these old people that they're talking about. And that is me. That is me. But think about this. When the constant flow of God's blessing, it's like a cool drink of water to our wasted and our wilting soul. I think of Annie Johnson Flint's great hymn that's entitled, He Giveth More Grace. You know, when she says this in that hymn, when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is gone, when we reach the other end of our hoarded resources, our Father, full giving is only begun. Know what she's saying? Listen, the cup of God's blessing for renewal and strength is overflowing if you'll just seek it. And how refreshing are the numerous blessings of God that are upon my life and upon your life as well. Well, not only are God's blessings given for strength and refreshment, I want you to notice something else. They're given for our enjoyment. You see, God blesses us to help us, and I'm thankful for that. But sometimes God will just bless us just to bless us. Thank God for that. If the day had been very easy for the sheep, guess what? The shepherd still would dip his cup out and fill it to the brim and offer it to the sheep. If it wasn't for their strength and refreshment, it was for the sheep's enjoyment. You know, we don't always take a cool glass of water or some other beverage because we are thirsty. Sometimes we just do it for the enjoyment of it. Sometimes we just like it. And I'm not talking about alcoholic drinks either. I remember one night Joshua and I went to revival up in northern Pennsylvania. And we went to the revival meeting and we got there and the revival meeting had canceled and we didn't know that. So it was still kind of daylight out as we traveled back down the mountain coming our way. And as we traveled down the mountain, I happened to notice a large overflowing water supply coming down out of the rocks. And I just put the brakes on my van, and Joshua and I jumped out, and I said, come on, Joshua. He said, Daddy, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to get a drink of this water. Well, why? I'm not thirsty. Because for our enjoyment, that's why. So we can say we got water from a rock, amen, like God provided for the nation of Israel. And to this day, he still talks about that, and that meant a lot to him that time. But sometimes we just drink for our enjoyment. And so as we would think about that as well, there are times when God blesses us just because he desires to bless us, because he loves us and we're his children. And he says, I want to do something special for him. He wants us to enjoy him, all that he is and all that he has for us. Sometimes those blessings result in spiritual benefit and our edification. But a lot of times, they just flow out of his desire to bless us because he loves us. And this is a lovely picture of the words, my cup runneth over. Let me illustrate to you this way. The overflowing cup isn't just that the shepherd fills his cup to the brim and water runs down the side like a coffee cup where you slurp out the excess from the saucer. This picture describes how the sheep would drink from the cup. The shepherd would fill his cup to the brim. The sheep would be so excited, he would stick his nose deep into the cup, right up to their eyes, causing the water to run over the cup. Of course, the sheep couldn't drink that way, and he'd have to pull out to be able just to get his tongue in there. But the simplest way I can say is this. When it comes to the blessings of God upon our life, I want to stick my head in as deep as I can. I want to get in so deep that I'm blowing bubbles in the blessings of God upon my life. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 107 in verses 23 and 24, they that do business on great waters, these seek the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Think about this. When it comes to God's blessings, we should drink deep from his cup. His blessings are abundant. Drink from the blessings to meet your needs. Drink from the cup for strength and refreshment. But also, my friend, drink deep from his cup of blessings just for enjoyment. Well, when I think of the blessings, I not only think of abundant blessings, I think about the appropriated blessings. And notice lastly, his appreciated blessings. His appreciated blessings. You see, the goodness of God in David's life and the numerous blessings that he enjoyed flowed from his heart to his lips, and he shouts these words, "My cup runneth over." And that overflowing cup should always be followed by an overflowing song. All that God has done for you and all that God has done for me should overflow in a thankful heart. Matthew Henry, most of you are familiar with him, a Bible scholar of yesteryear, was a great Bible commentator. He was saved at the age of 10 years old. And even in his young life, he exemplified a spiritual maturity and a comprehension of spiritual things well beyond his years. In October 1675, at the age of 13, we find that Matthew Henry made an entry into his journal that he called a catalog of the mercies of God. And he wrote, "For spiritual mercies, for the Lord Jesus Christ, his incarnation, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension and intercession, for grace and pardon and peace, for the word, the means of grace, for prayer, for good instruction, for the good I have gotten any time under the word of God, for any succor and help from God under temptation." He goes on to say, "For brokenness of heart, for an enlightening. Lord Jesus, I bless thee for thy word. I give thee thanks that I am thine and will always be thine." Every one of us ought to have a list of the mercies of God and the blessings of God inside of our life. How grateful, how thankful, how appreciative are you of all that God has done for you in your life? The psalmist David was so thankful he had an overflow in his heart. There's no reason for you and I not to lift up our hearts and hands to give him praise for how good he has been to us. And yet, instead of pouting, you and I should be shouting, but most Baptists are pouting rather than shouting. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 79. Psalm 79 and verse 13. Give you a minute to turn there. Psalm 79 and verse 13. Notice what the psalmist says. "So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praises to all generations." Instead of pouting at what God hasn't done, we ought to be shouting at what God has done in our life. The psalmist was so overwhelmed that his heart was overflowing. How can we be silent? How can we be slow to personally offer the Lord our gratitude and praise? After all that he's done for you and I believe it's sin in our hearts if our hearts are not overflowing with thanksgiving and thankfulness. Say amen once in a while in the preaching of the word of God. Give a little glory wave once in a while. I can promise you, you won't speak in tongues if you do that. You might even get someone else excited about God's thankfulness, and they'll see your overflowing heart, and their overflowing heart will be blessed, and they can give a shout and a glory to honor the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Someone once said this, "The greater God's gift and the greater God's work, the less they are regarded." And how true that is. Let's not be like that. The psalmist David wasn't like that. The shepherd wasn't that way. And God doesn't expect us to be that way as well. I'm afraid that's the way it is in so many cases today in our churches. Our hearts ought to overflow with praise and thanksgiving. That's why we take the time on Wednesday evenings to talk about God's goodness on your life. We ask for praise and blessings and testimonies, what God has done in your life. Barbara Ann Kiefer, as a shy teenager, began keeping a list of her favorite things. Soon the list became second nature to her. She found herself making additions while riding the bus, eating breakfast. Even in the middle of the night, she would wake up and write down these blessings. 20 years and a dozen spiral notebooks later, her list was published in a book entitled 14 Things to Be Happy About. Why don't you start making a list and counting your many blessings that God has for you? You can call it your blessing book. Just get you a big old notebook and start writing down every day. Every time that God has blessed you, take the time to write it down. And you better believe it. It won't be too long before you'll come up with so many things to be thankful for. And who knows? Maybe you can publish your book about God's blessings on your life. Maybe you have 14,000 things to be happy about, or we can say we're blessed about. Well, as we think about God's blessings should overflow in a thankful heart. Notice lastly, God's blessings should overflow in a trusting heart. You know, our cup ought to be already overflowing with the many blessings that we have seen in the previous four verses of Psalm 23. These blessings include God's constant care for you and I. He always has our best in mind for us. He provides for us. He protects us. And is constant present with us. And all through this psalm, Psalm 23, we've been reminded that all the days of our life, He will meet every need that we have. All these blessings guarantee us that you and I can trust Him. They assure us that He is all that we need to face the days ahead. Whatever path He may lead you on. Whatever path He may lead me on, whatever path He may lead Sharon Baptist on, whether it be path of righteousness or whether it be through the valley of the shadow of death, He can still be trusted. As we close this evening, as we attempt to measure our unmeasurable blessings, so to speak, maybe look to Him and say, Lord, because You're my shepherd, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to follow You wherever You lead me, and I'll listen for Your voice. Seeing just how good God has been to us in every situation of our life, why should we not trust Him? I think each of us can say this, my cup runneth over. Stick your nose down into that overflowing cup as one of the ways that you can face the days ahead. When I think about God's overflowing blessings, I think of His abundant blessings. They're generous and they're gracious. We don't deserve them. I think about His appropriated blessings. The cup of water is for strength and refreshment, but thank God it's also for enjoyment. And then lastly, we saw the appreciated blessings. And all that God has done for us should overflow in a thankful and a trusting heart. May God bless the preaching of His word this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this evening. We thank You.